Chapter 23. "Are you pregnant?" Nia asked Jade gently. Jade burst into tears, and Nia put her arms around her. "Hey, it'll be okay," she said.
"I don't know what the hell to do," said Jade, sniffing.
She grabbed a tissue from the counter, blew her nose.
"Sorry, you're the only person apart from Ruby I've told."
"You've not told the father?"
"No way! It's nothing to do with him."
"But..."
"Don't! Ruby gave me the whole lecture, more than once. I was terrified she was going to go and tell him."
"She knew who the father was."
"She did, but I told her I wasn't telling him about this. It's my decision."
She grabbed Nia's arm.
"You are not to tell anyone, have you got that? This is nothing to do with anyone else."
Nia saw the way Jade's eyes strayed to the window.
"Is it someone here in the close?" she asked.
Jade glared at her.
"Listen to me. This is nothing, I repeat, nothing to do with anyone in the close. None of them are the father. None of this is their business."
"Okay, I'm not going to say a word. Although you know if you have the baby, the father should help out."
"That's not an issue. I'm not having the baby. I'm in no state to look after a baby."
"What will you do?"
"I've already spoken to my doctor. I need to go in for a day. I have problems with blood clotting. They want to keep an eye on me."
"A termination? You're sure?"
"I am. I've had plenty of time to think about this."
Jade started to cry quietly. Nia put her arm around her.
"Would you like me to come with you?"
Jade's eyes filled with tears.
"You do that. You don't hate me."
"Of course not, and I will be with you if that is what you want."
"Thank you."
"Make sure you tell me when it is. We'll rearrange the appointments, close the salon. I'll be there, I promise."
Nia was working in the salon the next day, but she didn't mind. The clouds were thick and grey. She wouldn't want to be out walking on a day like this. As she looked over her appointments, she saw she had Ethan and Richie in that day. She was apprehensive at the thought of seeing Ethan again, even wondered if he might cancel. However, seeing Richie was coming in set her thinking. It was Wednesday, the day he had maintained he went over to the classes on the mainland, but Ruby had discovered he went to meet a friend. Maybe it was time to check up on who Richie was meeting. She knew roughly from Ruby the direction he walked. Could she follow him? See where he went? Another idea came to her. If she could get a lift to Cowes with Richie, maybe she would get an opportunity to check for that phone in the glove compartment. It was all a bit chancy, but she had to try. Richie came in late morning. He looked pale and subdued, but calm, and Nia reminded herself this was a man who had only a few weeks ago lost his wife. She spoke gently to him as he sat in the chair, the cape wrapped around his shoulders.
"Morning. How are you?"
He spoke softly. She had to lean forward to catch what he said.
"Still a bit numb, to be honest. People have been very kind. I've been sent flowers and Lucy has brought me some cakes. I don't feel much like eating, though."
"I can imagine. But it's good to try and eat small meals, isn't it?"
She looked down at his hair and he caught her eye.
"Ruby did the same thing each time. I just need it tidied up."
"That's fine. I can see what I need to do. Let's wash it and then I'll style it for you."
As she washed Richie's hair, she could feel the tension in his neck and the clench of his jaw. Back in the chair, she asked how he was managing at the gallery.
"I opened up again. It's not that busy, but I need to be painting."
"Elvira was telling me you've been collecting things off the beach with her for her wedding favours."
A hint of a smile showed on his lips.
"It's amazing what you find on a beach. Glass, shells, driftwood. It all tells a story, doesn't it? I can understand why Ruby loved it down there."
"She told me she talked to the sea."
"Yes, it's some comfort she was by the sea when she died. It's where she would have wanted to be. I just hate the thought of her being down there alone."
Nia glanced up at the mirror, wanting to see his reaction as she said,
"You, of course, were swimming with Ian. It's an amazing pool."
"Yes, we're lucky to be able to go there."
"So you go every Sunday?" You must have been there the evening Ruby died. You and Ian stay so late.
We don't get there until about 10. 2 hours swimming isn't that much.
He looked at her curiously. No, of course.
Nia took a deep breath, held her scissors very still. She was about to try out her plan.
I wonder if I could ask a favour. Wednesday is the night you drive over to Cowes, isn't it? Don't you go over to a class?
She felt a flicker of in-breath, but he answered.
Yes, he replied.
And, as Jade had said, she saw he was still keeping up the pretense of going to a class. That was the answer she was hoping for.
The thing is, as it looks like rain, I was wondering if you were planning to drive?
She held her breath. He had no idea how much it mattered to her what he answered.
Ruby never liked me cycling in the dark when it was raining. I'll be driving.
Again she looked up, caught his eye in the mirror.
That's great.
She saw a weariness in his eyes, but continued,
Sorry, it could be great for me. I have a friend staying over in Cowes, a small B&B close to Northwood House. Me and her always have a few glasses of wine, and so I'd rather not drive. I am guessing you would be parking around there?
Yes, probably.
That's brilliant. Could I come with you? Obviously, I'll be getting a taxi back, but it would be great to save the cost going over.
His lips formed into a forced smile.
Of course. I'll go about 5:30. I need to fill up with petrol.
That's great, thank you.
She felt his shoulders relax and she let him sit quietly while she finished his hair. Richie gave a quick nod of appreciation when she had finished. As he was leaving, he said a cursory farewell to Jade. Nia took a gap in appointments as an opportunity to pop over to see Romeo, let him out in the garden and have coffee. It was rather nice being close to work and to be able to leave the job for a short time. At lunch, she had a few minutes to catch up with Jade.
How are you feeling then?
She asked Jade.
Not too bad. It helped to talk, thank you. Any news from you?
Nia realised she'd not yet told Jade about following Ethan, Ian and Richie.
So Ethan isn't going to the surgery? How odd. Why make up a story like that? I wonder what he's doing at the hotel. Maybe he's meeting another woman?
Nia was aware of how sensitive this could be for Jade. I don't think so. He didn't go upstairs. He went to a room downstairs. I think it was more of a meeting room. Maybe he's a Freemason or something? I'd not thought of that. It's possible.
And what about Ian and Richie?
I went to the house, saw them swimming. Jade grinned.
How on earth did you explain turning up there?
Nia told her the story, adding, I only talked to Ian and I'm not sure he was convinced. Richie just kept on swimming. Nia paused and frowned.
What's the matter?
Asked Jade.
I don't know. I was picturing them swimming as I spoke and something wasn't right.
She closed her eyes but shook her head.
No, I can't see it. Hopefully it will come back to me soon. Anyway, I have Ethan coming in this afternoon. I'm a bit nervous. He could still be pretty angry with me after Sunday.
You'll be okay. Ethan doesn't hold a grudge.
I'm not sure. You didn't see him. I've no idea what he'll be like.
Nia had another of Ruby's regular clients next, a chatty older woman who told her about her grandchildren and detailed the mistakes her daughter-in-law was making bringing them up. Nia, of course, didn't comment, but was glad she wouldn't be going to the family lunch they were all planning. Eventually, Ethan arrived. He rushed in.
Ruby usually sprayed my hair with water to save washing it, he said, as she handed him the cape.
Nia recognised that for Ethan, having his hair cut was an evil necessity rather than a pleasure.
I just need a quick tidy up. My clients, fortunately, don't care what I look like.
Of course, so the usual then.
He looked up, blinked as if seeing a stranger. Nia guessed he seldom looked in a mirror.
Yes, that's great.
Nia sprayed a liberal amount of water. Ethan had very thick hair and it would have been better to wash it properly. As she combed through his hair, she saw he was scrolling through his phone.
She found herself glancing at his reflection. He really was very good-looking. Nia remembered watching him with the cat who had been so frightened, the gentle way he had handled him, the adoring looks he got from Romeo, and suddenly she could see how a young girl like Jade could have fallen for him. However, she reminded herself that Ethan may be guilty of turning his back on Jade, and the warm feelings started to ebb away. Making an effort to chat to him, she started to talk about the rescue centre, but Ethan's answers were perfunctory. At first, Nia thought he must still be angry with her, but then she saw his attention was on his phone. She glanced over his shoulder and saw he wasn't texting, but was playing some kind of game. Frowning, she looked more carefully and then recognised one of the roulette games they'd played at Elvira's hen party. Ethan suddenly looked up, and their eyes locked. The stress, guilt, panic Nia saw told her everything. At that moment, Elvira came in. She spoke to Jade at the desk and then came over to Ethan.
"Hiya, Nia. I didn't know you worked here now. Maybe I'll come and talk wedding hair with you sometime."
She talked to Ethan via the mirror.
"I thought I'd let you know Mrs. Green would like you to see Rex again. She'll be about half an hour. She's so worried, and she'll only see you with him."
"Oh, God, poor Rex," replied Ethan, and then smiled up at Elvira. "Thanks."
"So, how are all the wedding plans going?" Nia asked.
"Oh, I leave all that to Elvira. I have my suit now."
"Well, make sure I cut your hair again before the big day."
He gave her a quick smile. It was clear he didn't feel like chatting, and so she finished his hair quietly. Before he left, Jade stopped Ethan, wanting to talk about a dog at the rescue centre. They were still talking when Nia had finished brushing the floor and cleared up.
"I'm just popping home, be back in 15 minutes, she called to Jade. Once home, she let Romeo out into the garden and had a quick drink of squash. She was thinking about Ethan when there was a knock at the door. Nia let Ethan in.
"I think I ought to explain a few things," he said. Romeo came bounding in at the sound of Ethan's voice, and despite obviously being very agitated, Ethan bent down to give him a fuss.
"You don't have to explain anything to me," said Nia.
"No, I want to talk to you. Firstly, I'm sorry for the way I handled things on Sunday. I was very abrupt, sent you off looking pretty frightened. I didn't mean that." He sat down on the edge of a chair. "As you saw on my phone, I am gambling online." His face went a deep red. He couldn't keep eye contact as he said, "But I don't have a problem. It's something I have been doing to try and get in some extra money for the wedding, that's all."
"Oh, I see."
"I do also play poker sometimes on a Sunday evening, and that is why I was at the hotel. I am well aware of the problems. I can promise you I don't have any issue with it."
"Had Ruby picked up on you gambling?"
"God, yes. She saw my phone when I was having my hair done, just like you did. She went mad. She was fiercely anti-gambling. She was so angry with me. I told her it wasn't an issue, but she didn't believe me. Told me if I didn't tell Elvira, she would. I was petrified she'd tell Elvira and blow it all out of proportion. I mean, I could have lost Elvira if she'd done that."
The lightness had left his voice.
"The thing is, you see, Elvira's father was addicted to gambling. They lost their home when she was little because of it. And that's the reason I keep it secret from her."
"But why do it at all?"
"Just to get some easy extra money for the wedding. Elvira seems to always be asking for money, and I never like to say no. I have won a fair bit, but of course, I also lose money. I've not got in debt or anything, though. I tried to explain all that to Ruby."
Nia sipped her coffee, saw Romeo resting his head on Ethan's knee.
"I pleaded with Ruby. I just had to trust she'd not say anything."
He gently moved Romeo's head and stood up.
"I have to get back, and you have work. I simply wanted to apologise and to ask you please not to say anything to anyone about this."
"I'm not going to say anything."
"Thank you. I promise you, it's nothing to worry about."
And with that, he was gone. Before returning to work, Nia gathered her thoughts. Ethan had many more layers to him than she'd imagined. Was Ethan telling her the whole story? Was he actually as in control of his gambling as he made out? He'd certainly looked very stressed when talking about Ruby. Was it possible he'd cracked, killed Ruby, desperate to silence her? She stroked Romeo, who was sitting patiently next to her. I ought to get back to work. I'll see you soon. Nia saw two more clients and then helped Jade clearing up. Jade was naturally curious about why Ethan had gone over to see Nia, but Nia wasn't going to share that conversation. However, before she left, Jade did have a favour to ask of Nia. The appointment book is full for the next few days. It's always manic over Gaffer's weekend. Could you face 3 full days? I could, as long as I get over to Romeo. Of course. Honestly, the clients love you, and I need you to show me some of those cutting techniques. Of course, and yes, I'll be here. See you tomorrow. Oh, and can you bring me the address of that helpline? I ought to go there sometime. Of course, I'll text it to you. Nia left the salon, nervous about the evening ahead.